What's up, guys? Before we begin this podcast, I want to let you know once again that we are brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dinks are looking fresh and clean. Because roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let a wild pube wreck you and your crew. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Our sponsors at Manscaped are here for you with the best tools to get your balls ready for this special occasion. This V-Day, it's time to join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com, use code GODEEP for 20% off plus free shipping. So. What's with
I played in a pickup basketball with Strider, and he was guarding a lady who was like 5'7". Uh-huh. And every time Strider blocked her, he'd flex and go, yeah, yeah.
Yes, what's up?
Get out of my house. It was crazy.
Otherwise, you're not going to learn, dude. I'm out there to take it easy.
And you had like 14 blocks that game.
Yeah, it was a great stat line. Went home. I called my dad about it on the car ride home.
What'd he say?
He said, that's pretty solid. How about your rebounds, you know? Yeah, and I was like, I only had about 6 rebounds.
Oh, he immediately pivoted to another stat.
Yeah,
dads are like that.
Yeah, he's like, dude, good job,
I guess,
on one stat, but like, how's your whole game? You know what I mean? Don't just brag to me about one part of your portfolio that's performing well.
Are you gonna be like that with your kids?
Nah, I'm gonna be fucking chill as fuck.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna be chill.
Dude, I think there's something everyone I know of, like our bros, is like a good dad,
mm-hmm.
and like a very loving and faithful husband,
mm-hmm.
and I do think this generation is gonna be like the best dads ever.
Oh, dude, that's nice.
I really believe that.
That's sick.
I heard Hank Azaria on WTF one time be like, hey, like our generation, he's a little older, but he was like, I don't think our generation will be as good at, like, I don't know if we would have won World War II, but we'll be better dads.
Right.
And I was like, why? Don't say that. But now I actually think he's right.
Yeah.
I think that is what's gonna happen. I think we're gonna have a bunch of dank dads.
Better and better and better.
Yeah, and it could swing the other way, depending on events, you know? Like, if we got to get hard real quick, maybe we'll lose some of that sensitivity. But I do think
like
that...
Like, sexually?
Yeah. If we got to get... If we got to fuck...
Yeah.
Or the world's on the line...
Yeah.
Like, the whole world's going to blow up unless you can bust.
Get a boner, yeah.
There's something you lose having to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little gentleness that goes gone. But, hey, if the moment demands it, bust. Get hard and bust. But I do think... Yeah.
Do you think if you were in like a 24 situation, like you're Kiefer Sutherland and a nuke is about to go off and they're like, well, we won't set this off if you can get hard. Would you be able to get hard?
How many people are watching me?
The whole counterterrorism unit. And you've got your secretary in your ear.
Traditionally, I'd like more eyeballs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that scenario you just painted sounds pretty hot.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm getting a little horny just hearing it. You really put it over the top with the secretary whispering in my ears.
Sorry, I was just thinking of Mary Jean Raska.
Why are you apologizing for teeing up a fat erotic scenario?
Dude, I thought you meant like
she's a beautiful woman.
Too much over the edge.
No, over the top.
Who's the secretary?
Oh, like I come too fast?
Oh, no, I thought you meant just like it was like a cool scenario until you said that.
No, dude, it got better.
Cool
scenario that got hotter.
Yeah.
I think, dude, honestly, the best thing she could do for me is talk shit to me.
Yeah,
and like, I bet you won't get hard and save the world.
Yeah,
I need something to fight against.
Would you need to? You think you could just do it mentally if someone's just talking shit?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't even need to touch it. But dude, off of that, I do think we're going to be better dads for sure.
And for sure.
Yeah,
dude, that's tight. Dude, we got the antibody squad here.
Yeah, we all had COVID.
Let's go.
Dude, how you feeling with those antibodies, dog?
I mean, it's good as I can be, I guess.
Nice, dude.
You guys had more symptoms than me.
It's because you're littler.
Yeah.
You got littler symptoms because you're littler, dude.
And you got the booster.
How's that, dude? How's that for a backfire, dude?
Yeah, dude.
Fucking try and talk shit, dude. Try to talk some shit, dude.
Get out of here, bro.
Dude. No, dude, I have to throw out mad respect to your fucking COVID symptoms because you put up 185 on power cleans with COVID.
Yeah, I PR'd my power clean.
That's tight.
Mid-COVID. I was working out outside alone late at night. Yeah, I had my own barbell.
You had integrity too, though. You made a video of it. You said, guys, I really did this. You weren't just making it up.
And I did make my neighbor hug me afterwards, though, while I had COVID.
Nice.
But I told him, I was like, bro, I got COVID, but I just PR'd my power clean. He's like, it was more than a plate, right? I was like, yeah, plate and a quarter. And he went, it's legit, I'll risk it. And he
hugged me.
Bro, you put the ball in his court. And he was so stoked. He goes, look, you did everything responsible in that scenario.
He gave me a fat lob back and let me overhand slam it. Dude, when I did find out I had COVID, I was at Reggie's place with Alex, their roomies, and we're just watching TV and talking shit. And then I get my PCR back, and it's like, you're positive. And so I go, oh, dudes, I'm positive. And their reaction was, that's crazy. And then I was like, do you guys want me to leave? And we had Postmates coming, and then Alex just looked at me and goes, eat your dinner first, and then you can bounce.
Did they get it?
Yeah.
They got it?
Oh, no, they didn't get it.
They didn't get it?
Yeah. No, they didn't get it. Nice. No, I don't think either of them got it.
Nice.
Which is crazy. Because they were being so chill about it. Like, they even set up my food on a tray because we were eating on the couch, and they, like, put my spare ribs on it.
Oh, like a TV dinner?
They could not have been more cool about it.
Dude, that's epic.
There's some chill-ass bros. Very chill-ass bros.
They were way cooler than you guys were when I tested positive.
No, we were like, you gotta get out of here.
They literally left the building.
Yeah.
I was back here like, you guys for real?
What, yeah, thought, we were for real.
You thought we were kidding.
I thought he was kidding.
I was looking at the little rap and I go, Aaron, you're popping positive. And he doesn't react. I'm like, how strange. And then like,
because I was negative the day before.
So and then, like, no, it makes sense. Yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, I'm like, Aaron, dude, you're positive. And then you were like, I thought you were kidding. And I was like, nah, dude, this is for real, for real.
You're like, I don't know what happened. I had a fever the night before.
Well, that's what's funny is like, you get symptoms.
I had negative tests, a bunch of negative tests.
Because you had a bunch of symptoms and you were like, dude, I don't think I have it. And I was like, what are you feeling? You're like, fever, headache, body pain, chills. I was like, and then you were coughing on the phone. You do that every time you're sick. When I call you, I go, I'm like, Chad, how you feeling? You go, I'm good, man.
Like, that's the thing. I kept getting negative. Like, I kept getting negative tests. I was like, kind of bummed. I was like, fuck, man, let me just get this thing.
Yeah.
And get it over with. And I was like, did I just catch? Because catching a cold during COVID, like, that's lame as fuck.
That's the worst. Yeah.
No, you want to get the real thing.
Yeah.
Especially with this slightly seemingly diminished version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, also, I got to give some love to Joe Morrissey. Because we're all laughing about COVID now, but we weren't laughing with him about it. You know, we were all pretty hard on him about it. And I think, you know, our argument had sense to it. But, and I do feel like I was better protected because of the booster. I'm not a doctor. I'm a fucking idiot. But, you know, Joe made some points. Yeah.
He did make some good points. But dude, you know who made some bad points was my coworker, bro. He's anti-vax. He's gull. That he comes up, he goes, because he knew how to miss work because of COVID. He goes, say you end up getting it, right? Like all happy about it. Say you got it. I go, yeah. I did. And he goes, and you were boosted? I go, listen to this, bro. Got boosted Tuesday. Got it on Friday. He goes, well, I hate to break this to you, man, but you got to know. You might not be around in 5 years. He's like,
because of the vaccine?
Yeah. He goes, and you're lucky you didn't die this week. All this stuff. Like, and then in the middle of it too, like some guest is like, hey, can I get some waters? I'm like, yeah, hold on, let me get you some waters. Give this guest some waters. And I'm like, wait, so what are you saying about me dying, dude? Yeah. And he's like, here's the thing, dude. They don't tell you this. Country runs on 5G, right? You got a phone that's 5G? He goes, yeah. He goes, nope. It's not even turned on yet. He goes, they're pumping your body full of heavy metals. They're going to know when you open your fridge at 3 a.m., when you flush your toilet at midnight, when you're done fucking, they're going to know. Because that's what 5G does, tracks heavy metals. They're going to know when you fucking bust, dude. And I'm just like, I don't care, dude.
Dude, I'd be stoked if the government knew when I was going to bust.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah. That was always been my perspective on them. Like, they're going to be tracking everything you do. I'm like, cool. Yeah. Like, I know it's like civil liberties and like maybe that can turn on you at some point, but I'm like, I'm not worried about it. I'm not doing anything that bad.
I think they'd be like, this guy leads a pretty cool life. They're like, oh, he's at the beach now. I'm like, just waving to like the drone. Like, what's up, dudes?
Yeah.
Dude, that's such a good point. Like, if I was being observed by someone in the government at all times, I'd want to make sure I had a stoked day because I wouldn't want them to go home bummed from what they watched.
It's a good call. It's a good call.
It's like The Lives of Others, that Oscar winning German film where it's like, this dude like falls in love with the people he's listening to.
Yeah.
I would want to have that effect.
It's a great call. You'd be knowing you're getting other people stoked. You guys kind of do that anyway with your sick ass activism. It's like you would just be making sure. Thank you, dude. I mean, I'm inspired by my bros, dude. And it's like, maybe if I know that there's a dude in like one of those little cargo units in the desert on Edwards Air Force Base.
Just give me a kiss.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Hey, just got it again. Can I tell you something? We got the antibodies. Completely safe.
Why'd you say, oh, God?
Because I was jealous. Part of that,
dude? Because you're jealous?
Yeah, I was like, oh, God, I want to be in there. But I'm far away.
You're not that far.
Yeah, I am, dude. I'm still fatigued.
Of our symptoms, dude, you did get it the worst, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. I mean, I'm talking symptom shit. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. I was at the Zed show and I got it hard. Dude, I was actually pretty stoked that's how we got it. Because if you're gonna get it.
Yeah, I didn't do fucking anything fun.
Yeah, dude. I was like, I was talking to my acting teacher, she's like, where'd you get him? I got this sick ass Zed show backstage. Just, you know, everyone had COVID. It was sick.
So tight.
It was tight. Because there's this thing about because everyone's getting it. I was in my mind, I'm like, dude, am I not living life? Like, what?
You're choosing how you go down, dude. You know what I mean? It's like, go down in a blaze of glory, dude. Bon Jovi, dude. It's just like, I got it at work, probably. You know what I mean? Like, probably pulling up someone's Escalade, which is a sick car. It's like, it's not a Zed concert.
Dude, it's funny when we announced we had to, like, drop out of our show, so many comments where people are like, you feel stupid yet? Feel stupid about getting the vaccine? And I'm like, shut up, dude. Anyone who, whatever viewpoint you have, you're just gonna, like, find your bias or whatever. You know, you're like, oh, they got COVID with their vaccine. But I'm like, shut up, idiot. You don't know.
Exactly, bro. You knew Omicron was coming, bro. You knew this super transmissible variant was coming. No, you didn't, dude.
Yeah, no one knows anything.
Yeah.
But that reflects on me, too, where I'm like, I don't know anything. Because when I got the vaccine, I thought I was never going to get COVID after that.
Well, that's what we all thought.
And that is
not me, though, dude. Remember you guys thought I was being a bitch?
Yeah, you were still being safe. Like, when we went to Vegas not long after, you were still rocking a mask. I'm like, why are you rocking a mask? And you're like, you were basically saying, we don't know.
No vaccine's ever been 100%.
That is kind of how they pitched it, though. And maybe I'm the fool for being like, yeah, that's legit, thanks, and thinking it was real. But that's why I kind of agree with Maurice more now, too, is because he was like,
yeah,
I just don't know if it should be mandated at this point, if it's not really going to make, if you still get it and pass it.
Totally. And that was our thing with Maurice, was like, bro, we understand not wanting someone telling you to put something in your body's whack. But we still thought you had a good reason to put something in your body, bro.
That was it more, too. It was like it uprooted his whole life.
Yeah.
And we just wanted him to be on the show and to keep his job and shit.
Yeah.
And it's an always changing situation, you know? Science is.
It's always evolving.
Fucking Winston Churchill, who's a beast, he's like, dude, I reserve with the facts change, I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah. And then at the end he said, and what about you, sir? He flipped it back on the other dude.
That's what's up.
He put it on him, dude.
Speaking of which, dude, I watched the movie, I'm blanking on the name of it, but it's Gary Oldman's performance as Churchill.
Oh, like the looming Darkest leader?
Hour. Darkest Hour, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's so good, bro.
I watched that again, too.
I've never seen it. Is it good?
You haven't seen it?
Yeah. No.
Dude.
His performance, phenomenal.
I thought it was going to be boring, like just a boilerplate, like historical thing.
No, dude, it's awesome.
No, they do a good job. It is that. Like, that is the essence of it, but they do a good job of, like, having urgency and stakes and stuff.
Is it like WW2, like Dunkirk?
Bro, exactly. Yeah.
Battle of the Britons, that sort of thing.
Bro, you trying to inform the government of my fucking boner right now when you're talking like that, dude?
You do look like you have a boner.
Thank you, dude.
Dude, let me see.
Appreciate that. Look at
you. Can you do the speech? Can you do We Will Fight Them in the Hills?
Yeah, we will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them on the streets of Piccadilly Square. We will fight them in the air. We will fight them on the ground. We will never give that and make a deal with that man.
And then he kind of calls out America at the end.
Yeah, bro.
And he's like, until our brother from the West decides to enter the foray. Mm-hmm. He really was like, hey, guys, you need to get involved in this stuff.
Well, the movie kind of trashes America, too, because he calls FDR.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like, you have horses. How about you have some horses to, like, carry this shit across Canada or whatever?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, whatever. I need to hear your shit.
Right.
And France, too, dude. France is getting dominated. And he's like, well, and like, he has a lunch.
What's new?
For sure, dude.
Nice. Classic, the only thing, dude. Emily in Paris, though.
Oh, bro, I love that.
Is it
that
good?
Show. Yeah,
I've only watched like three episodes.
Actually, I got so annoyed by her in the first episode, I couldn't get through it.
Your take is correct. In season two, is more of that. She's lying to everyone and herself included, and it's very frustrating to watch as a character. Like, you're like, why do I? I mean, I know why I like her. She's charming, dude. She wears cute outfits, dude. And me and my fiance love crushing that show.
Her dad's Phil Collins.
Yeah, her dad's Phil Collins.
Dude, if I wanted to see a woman lie, I'd just live my life.
Oh, dude.
Boom, dude. Here we go. Hey, save that for our men's club meeting this Wednesday.
Oh, sorry, I got the time wrong. I thought we were in it.
Oh, yeah, no. Men's club every second Wednesday of the month from all day to all day. Don't bother us.
We're going to turn it into a Patreon.
Yeah.
the men's hour.
Yep, we'll be just sending exclusive content to all of our Patreons of just truth bombs. Stuff like JT just said. Stuff like how to drive in reverse. Stuff like that. Stuff like showing up on time. Stuff like that.
Like any of the things I'm saying other people do. It's just, that's just who I'm dealing with. But yeah. I do all those things.
Oh, too. Same. I drive in reverse all the time and I show up on time all the time.
I remember what, dude, when you try to like Joe Cool It out of the garage.
Oh, bro. Dude. My hubris, dude, I whacked my own bumper. JC was like taking a phone call and we had this like tight little garage over
here. We were in Tandem Park, so I had to pull out to let him out.
And I was like, I got this, bro. There's an open spot over there. No fucking big deal. My car like didn't have a backup cam. I was like going to work. I'm like, and like making eye contact with JT, whack this fucking pole directly in our lot. Nice. Whack it so hard. My car stops and JT's just on the phone. He's like, what?
It looked intentional. He pulled out in reverse so fast and just drove directly backwards into a pole. Like, and I remember seeing him go like this, very upright and confident in the seat, and then just schwack. And I was just like, whoa. And he's the best parker I know. Like, you're a demon with that stuff. You can get into any parallel parking situation.
One correction.
That's the ultimate confidence move, is the palm on top.
Yes.
The open hand.
Yeah. Let it go.
If I'm on a date and we're parking, always do that.
Oh, such a good call. That's so
true. Dating really does change the way you drive. You're just like,
let me just total
this machine.
Let me just park this whip. Yeah, it's a huge effort.
So true, dude.
I'm a bad driver too. That's why I wanted to get a dirt bike, and I'm still thinking about it. But you guys were all pretty like, that's gonna be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember I'm a bad driver because with my ex, I'd be driving around and I'd do like a squirrely move, like kind of in front of someone. She just gets scared and go, I'm scared. I am scared right now. And then I'd be like, oh, sorry. Actually, I get a little frustrated. I'm like, why are you scared? It's all good.
Well, I drive behind you sometimes, and you always run at least 5 red lights.
Yeah, you were hard on me about the dirt bike.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to see you get
you're
hurt.
Looking out for me. I know.
I'll see JT driving, and he's just on his phone, just right through a red light. I'm like, Jesus.
Oh, casually, dude, just like, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he'll see it go red. That's all good.
But he's not even like you go fast. He's just not even aware.
I'm doing like 20.
You're just doing 20. Just right.
Cruising.
Yeah.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah. I'll do good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's my new philosophy. I'm over my death fears. So now I'm just.
Oh, you
like,
are?
I'm just going towards it.
When did that happen?
I think like 6 months ago, maybe.
Nice.
But now I'm really like grooving in it, and I'm like, dude, I think I want to get a tattoo. I think I want to get a dirt bike. I think I'm having a midlife crisis.
What kind of tattoo would you get?
Well, I told you I might get Ally tattooed on my shoulder, but that might look like Ally too, so it could be a bit confusing
for sure. Yeah,
other than that, I'm open to anything. I don't know.
You should get a big palm tree on your whole back.
That's cool.
The in and out palm trees.
It's kind of made me understand people who like tattoos more now. Because I used to not like tattoos because I thought it was people like advertising personality. And I was like, just be the thing that your tattoo would suggest to people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, I think tattoos are a way to give meaning to your experience and to tell people what is meaningful to you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a way to just be like, this is my story.
For sure.
And this is what matters to me.
Right.
And I want you to know what matters to me. And then I also think if you get tattoos, you can kind of look tough. And then it makes your sensitivity more interesting if you're not. Do we still think tattooed people are tougher? Not really anymore, right?
No, because most tattooed people I know are like hipsters.
Same.
Yeah. But you got some good amount of muscle on you, so it would translate to toughness.
Yeah. Me too, though. You lost a little bit because of your COVID symptoms, but you're still jacked.
Yeah, thanks, dude. You actually did inspire me to start lifting. I was taking it easy on myself. Just posted up on the couch, playing some Xbox, dude, which has not been working properly.
That's going to be your beef, right?
It's going to be a huge beef. Buckle up. It's going to be men's club level ranting on this Xbox stuff. But JT, he saw me and he's like, dude, you look skinny. I was like, fuck, dude. I started just lifting everything I could inside.
Dude, nice.
Yeah, I can't be looking skinny, dude.
Yeah, dude. I went to yoga yesterday. I lost some tone.
That's tragic, dude.
But you said yoga.
Yeah, well, I figured out when you're on the tail end of COVID, how to test negative. All right. Now, let me just preface this with, I am a scientist, and I know more than Joe Rogan.
Love that.
Agreed.
All right. So, if you want to... So, basically, I read in an article that, you know, if the PCR test, you'll test positive for a little bit because you'll have dead COVID cells in your nose.
That was via Aaron's intel.
Right. Mm. And so, yesterday, I was like, I got to get this shit out of my nose. So, what did I do? I did a full 26 and 2 hour and a half hot yoga sesh. Hot yoga sesh. Sweated it all out. You sweat out all the remaining virus. And then this morning I went surfing, salt water refresh for the nose.
Oh yeah.
Then got tested. Negative.
Dude.
Yeah.
There's two doctors in the Kroger clan now. Let's go. Yeah.
What
dude.
Up, Dad? You didn't expect to see that coming.
Did you text your dad and be like, hey, yo.
Yeah, and he's like...
Science knowledge. Disseminate to your clients.
Yeah, and he's like...
Or patients, rather.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, well, what about if you got a rectal exam? Because, you know, they do that for COVID testing sometimes. They'll put the Q-tip in your b-hole.
That's what my doctor keeps doing.
Yeah. Well, that's why
I get tested a couple times a week. I'm like, is this the way we're supposed to do it? He's like, every time it's the best way to do it.
Well, that's why, you know, I kept testing negative, and I was like, I'm pretty sure it's COVID. So I show up to the drive-thru test site and just put my ass out of the window, kind of like you used to do, and they wouldn't do it.
That was funny when I threw you, because I had a bunch of rapids that I had stockpiled because I was supposed to bring them to our fantasy football draft, and they came late. And I gave you the test, and you're like, you mind if I test here? I was like, well, yeah, I probably already got it too, so go for it.
Yeah.
And then you took the nasal swab, and you just went up your butt with it. And and then you went like an inch and a half deep.
2 inches.
Right. And then it came back negative, and you're like, all right, I'm good. I'm going to go hit the club.
Yeah.
And I was like, but dude, like, all right. I was like, dude, for sure. That looks great.
Yeah. Well, it's the most accurate way. And
that's the way. So you put it in your butt first, then your nose?
Mm-hmm.
Right after?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
And then a little throat swab just to make sure. Because they say with Omicron that you should get your throat.
Yeah, you get all your orifices.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Dude, I've been more into juvenile talk lately. It's really made me happy. It's made me the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
I've been really happy the last 2 weeks, and I can pinpoint the origin point of said happiness.
I was there.
And you started saying nutsack?
No, close. Yeah. It involves the nuts. I started telling all my friends that I was going to, that I fucked their dads.
Nice.
And dude, I swear to God, it's made me so happy making that joke.
Dude, hell yeah.
I just talk shit. Like, my friend will talk shit to me because I was the manager of the basketball team in junior high. And he'd be like, oh, you're going to like fold up some warmups? And I go, yeah, you know, it's crazy when I was the team manager. Because when we played your school, your dad was there and he said how cute I looked. And then I butt fucked him. And then I get happy.
Nice.
I get super happy.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's definitely something if you're in the middle of him talking some smack to you, it's going to stymie your opponent. It's great debate tactics. You know, like if you were in a debate on anything, like I don't care what it is. If you just told someone that you're going to fight their dad, they're going to have to think about that.
I did get it from Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because I didn't ever see him say it, but I could hear him thinking it.
Right.
Right.
Like when he'd be talking shit to like the Bush or the Cruz or the Rubio, I could see the subtext.
Yeah.
Which was, I've boned your father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with Trump, I don't believe it.
I could see it. That's one of my favorite lines in American Wedding. He's like talking to the hotel clerk, and he's like, or better yet, go blow your dad. And the guy goes, my dad? His reaction, my dad?
Dude, in the new MacGruber, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so funny, dude. Like, this is a spoiler alert, but like Will Forte wakes up from having like a, you know, a flashback dream, and this guy, one of his enemies, is like, oh, do you have a bad dream, little baby? He's like, no, I had a great dream. I was fucking your mom and dad and making them both come, but I was coming way more. It's so hilarious.
That makes me happy.
It's great.
There's real joy in that.
Yeah,
it's the absurdity of it too.
Oh, dude, by the way, Mari Chismas. I got JT
apparently. What movie did we see? Kingsman? No.
No, Red Rocket.
Red Rocket. That was good.
These are amazing.
Oh, those are great, dude.
Great color, too, dude.
Viore's.
Thank you so
Chad
much.
Chad just gave Strider his Christmas gift.
I cannot wait to lift in these, dude.
Dude, they're sick. I got a pair for myself, too.
What kind of dumbbells are you going to throw around with them?
I'm picking up the 35s with these bad
boys. Let's go. Let's go, bro. That's when we get into the power zone.
Thank you, dude.
That's what I like to hear.
Bro, I'm picking up the 35s. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break these in with a nice Omar.
Nice, dude.
I'm going to break these in with an Omar.
One of the best workouts
you
of all
post
time.
You should post it.
I will post that.
And burpees.
Dude, by the way, audience, if you're looking to get your New Year resolution workouts in, 15 with Osteen.
Good call. It's
that was
still
incredible
up.
To watch you perform yeah. that.
Thank you, dude. That dude, that was a tough, bro. My body was locking up on the second day. It was tough, dude.
You were great, dude.
Thank you, dude.
It was, you were really good.
So fun. Our boys, shout out to Ferraro and Babona for coming through and throwing around some real weight.
And Dan Lucchese for directing and shooting it.
He's such a beast, dude. He's up, bro, just setting up all the angles, dude. Dude's
loves
a fucking
it.
Beast.
He loves it.
Dude, I was speaking of going fast on things too. I was wondering, how fast do you guys think you guys would go on the Autobahn? If you had like a sick sports car and you were in Germany and you're on that stretch of road, how hard are you pushing the pedal down?
What's the speed limit?
There's no speed limit.
Oh, fucking fast, dude. Kilometers? Fucking 200 kilometers.
What is that in miles per hour? Like 110?
It's fucking pretty quick, I think.
That's so
sick. Here's the thing, too. One hand, and then one hand on my fiance's leg.
Dude,
just cruising.
I've always fantasized about, you know, having the love of my life in the riding shotgun.
Yeah.
Throwing break stuff by Limp Bizkit.
That's such a good ass call.
And have a fast car that's stick. And right when the huge guitar riff hits, throw it in, pop the clutch, do a burnout. After that, I think I would like to die.
That's a good way.
Well said.
That's a good way to get COVID, too. Like, I don't know where you would get it in there. If you got COVID doing that, that'd be a good way to get it.
Sorry. I just spit all over the mic.
That's chill, dude. We got fucking antibodies.
There's a bunch of COVID in the freeway in a convertible. Dude, just going,
yeah, you gotta put the top up. You're like, I want it.
Yeah, dude.
A fucking truck coming from Wuhan the other direction, dude, just drops a bunch of COVID on you, dude. Just cruising all fast.
Can you imagine if there was a semi with COVID on the side?
It's has COVID in it. It's a truck. The thing flies up. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, everyone on the freeway's like, oh, no.
It's all green.
I just imagine a husband like trying to take control of him. He's like, honey, the COVID trunk's open. There's COVID everywhere. Roll up the windows. Tell the kids to put their masks on. I got to get around this guy. He's got COVID everywhere. Truck driver's just totally oblivious. He's just cruising. He's like, everyone's like, fix the back. Close the back. You got COVID everywhere.
He's listening to like Freebird.
Yeah, he's just like, hey. He pulls on the horn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, not the horn. No, not the horn. You got COVID everywhere.
COVID truck spills on the freeway.
Dude, honestly, on the Autobahn, dude, I would just be stoked. I would like to see how fast my fiance pushes it, because that's probably how fast I'd go.
She'd be driving?
Yeah, she fucking hits.
That's hot.
She hits, goes pedal to the metal.
Let's
dude.
Go,
she
dude.
Cruises, yeah.
What kind of car are you in?
I think like an Aston. Like a James Bond.
Ooh,
Aston.
Nice. I thought you were going to go Viper. I like you going European, dog.
Oh, yeah. It's not a
much
mom.
Classier.
Sexy. Yeah.
But you don't go German.
That's true. I should have gone a German make. But I think I love Astons.
They're sexier than any Beamer or Mercedes-Benz iteration.
You get into them and you can feel the craftsmanship. As soon as you get in it, you feel it.
They're meant to be driven.
You should. They're meant to be driven naked.
100%.
A lot of people don't know that.
Wild horses run naked.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
For real? Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know 200 kilometers? I did. I looked it up on Google. How fast do you think that is in miles per hour?
150.
I said one. I think I said. What did I say? 110.
I think probably. Yeah, I'd say like 140.
125.
I was going to say 125.
Ooh, I could tell you were going to say that.
Nah.
Why'd you hezzy on the 125?
Because I already threw my thing out there. And I can't backtrack.
You wanted to be strong in your your assumption.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's
down,
what's up,
I went
dude.
Down swinging.
Dude, we watched this Javier Bardem thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where he because I really feel like you guys have saved my life several times over again just through your good vibes.
Oh, thank you.
But he was talking about how much Josh Brolin meant to him on the set of No Country for Old Men. And I was taken by how impactful it was for him. He said he was going through a tough time in his life and that Josh Brolin kind of saved his life through his humor.
Yeah, it's hilarious to listen to him talk about it. He was like, Josh Brolin is the funniest man
that I has ever been on a film set ever. We're in the middle of the desert filming a scene, and Josh Brolin would pick up cuties from the craft table. He would start their juggling them. He would pull out his butt, spread his butthole, and the whole crew laughing, very inappropriate, but everyone of age, everyone over 18 laughing very hard. And for me, as having such a tough time in my life, going through many personal things, personal issues, and Josh Brolin would do such funny things that the Coen brothers take very, lighting a scene very peculiar, very particular. And Josh Brolin would step out from behind a light, completely manginaing everybody. And the way Josh Brolin, he's, I think about the mangina from him, is it's not just typical mangina. It is of the timing. It is of the meaning behind it. Very beautiful meaning. And it is a very selfless. A lot of people in life, they think the clown is a clown to be laughed at, but a clown is something to bring people together, laughing. The whole crew felt like family after that. I felt that this is my family. Then, you know, a lot of my scenes, I am by myself, not interacting with other people. But at that moment, instantly, Josh Brolin making us family.
That's incredible. After. So Josh Brolin really, his humor.
His humor rescued me. He rescued me. I was standing. I was envisioning myself falling asleep at night, how I would kill myself. I would be sitting there thinking I would take a, you know, stand at the edge of a cliff and light myself on fire. And that's how I would do it. That's how I imagine it. And
why would you do it that way?
Because, yeah, I come from a family of actor. I have to be, make a dramatic, have to be very dramatic, making a choice. You have to make a choice. And I think the beauty of me taking my own life at a cliff, but deciding at the last minute I will light myself on fire instead, is probably a good misdirection, would keep people guessing and talking about me for a
long time. How close were you to suicide when Brolin did the mangina that saved you?
I was very close. I was thinking, you know that thing I use in No Country for Old Men, the cattle, the air gun? I was thinking about taking that in the car with me and then driving the car off a cliff. Mm. That's what I was thinking about, into a pool so I drown. And that's what I was thinking about. Until Josh Brolin did the funniest thing I've ever seen in my with my eyes, and experienced with my heart, and laughing from my lungs, and from my belly, and putting me truly in stitches, and putting me so many, cracking me up into stitches when Josh Brolin was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. As soon as we find out we were filming on location, he texts me, "See you in the desert, bitch ass motherfucker." I thought that was so funny, him to call me a bitch ass motherfucker.
How did you thank Josh Brolin for all this?
I thank Josh Brolin by showing up at his house in the middle of the night, standing above him wearing that ugly wig that I wear in the film, and putting a coin in his butt. Because after all, it is not a coin, but it is just another coin. But this is his butthole coin now.
Did he laugh?
He did. He stayed asleep, and I left and told no one about that till this moment. So if Josh Brolin, you are watching, thank you, my friend. You saved my life, and you are welcome for that Sacagawea coin. It's a rare coin.
Dude, that's amazing, bro.
Wow, dude. That's incredible.
That's crazy. Yeah, he's a lunatic in that movie. He'd just be killing people.
Anton Chigurh, dude.
They made the name. I've said this before. They made the name so that it would have no country of origin.
Oh, nice.
Like Anton Chigurh, it has no, like, it's not a Spanish name, it's not a French name, it's not an English name. There's no etymology for it, basically.
Just because
they wanted him to be elemental. They didn't want him to be from a place. They wanted him to be from just something deeper, something bigger. Dude, that reminds me, I had this buddy growing up about just killing things, being primal and shit.
Nice.
Because I've been thinking about hunting, too.
Yeah, I've seen you behave more like a primal dude lately.
I'm trying to be more primal.
Yeah,
because I've done the other side of it, and now I want to get to I think it's about balance. And I was thinking about hunting, and then I remember my friend Ian Flick. We called him Bean Flick, mm-hmm. And he was like a homebody, like never went out into the world. And then we grew up in OC together, and then his family moved to Wyoming, mm-hmm. And he got, you know, close to a bunch of hunters, and they kept telling him how primal hunting is and how it puts you in touch with nature when you're connected to that which you kill. Mm. You know, to put down an elk and then to eat that elk and be part of the entire process, what that can do to your soul. Mm. And then so Bean Flick one night just grabbed his dad's gun. His dad didn't even have a hunting rifle. He had a Glock 40 handgun, right? Mm-hmm. With like old ones, 17-shot mag. He went out to the neighbor's farm and just shot one of their their cows in the head.
Nice. Whoa. He hunted a cow?
He hunted a cow.
Wow.
Because he was he was new to Wyoming. He didn't understand the difference between wildlife and livestock.
Right.
And so he just executed this cow.
So the cow was just staring back at him, mooing?
He thought he found like a wild cow.
Yeah.
And then he was like, moo. And then he snuck up behind. He was dressed like he was in one of those like assassin movies, you know, like
right.
The all black night vision goggles, turtleneck. And then he iced the cow.
Right. Wow.
Fuck.
And he had to do like 6 months probation house arrest.
But he was proud of that property. Cow. Because he even hung that. He mounted it.
He taxidermied the head of the cow and put it on his wall.
Yeah.
And
I've seen a photo of that.
To this day, best hamburger he's ever had.
Yeah.
Because they let the family let him keep the meat.
That's a good call to use the... At least he used the kill.
They're really nice people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vietnamese family named Phan. Mm. Which Phan translates in English to cage. And then Bean Flick was like in a cage after that. So there was all this like weird symmetry in the story.
Fuck.
I love they used a Glock to hunt.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. That's more primal, I think, than using like a long scope rifle because...
It's more intimate, for sure.
It's very intimate. You got to get up close to the cow and...
He risked himself getting up to that cow. Could have like could have stepped towards him and knocked him over or something.
Yeah. It would have been wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have gotten mauled by that cow.
Yeah. When you kill a cow, do you milk it after?
No, I think you milk a cow before.
Oh.
I think you milk a cow before you kill it.
Oh, so they don't kill every cow they milk.
Oh. Yeah. I think there's some cows that are for like good for beef and then other cows that are good for milk. Maybe it's how big like their udders are.
This might be my phrase of the week. Do you guys remember that 3-0 song? That 311. Is it 303? They sang that song, Don't Trust Me.
Yeah.
Where they say, and tell your boyfriend if he says he's got beef.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm a vegetarian and I ain't fucking scared of him. I don't think any line in the world gets more fired up than that.
Yeah. That's interesting because it's like tough, but also like kind of opposite of primal.
That's what it is. You expect
a vegetarian to be tough.
It's a vegetarian being badass.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what I like about it. It's the juxtaposition. Yeah. You nailed that.
Yeah.
Good call.
Wow. That's so cool to bring like diet into, you know, romantic beef.
So fucking true, dude. It's called beef after all.
Did you guys watch Cheer season 2?
No.
Part of it. I mean, my fiance was watching and I'd listen in, but it was a bummer, dude.
It's a bummer.
Just hearing about Jerry. I mean, dude.
Dude, yeah, that's fucking gnarly.
Awful. Gnarly, dude. Yeah. And then other than that, it's like, it's all about how fame has like adversely affected the team. It's weird about these Netflix docs like that and like Tiger King. The second season's just about how the success of the first season has impacted the cast. It's not about their story anymore. It's about their relationship to like our understanding of their story, and I'm like, that's not what I want to watch.
No,
I don't want.
So fame has, it's had a pretty like negative effect on.
Yeah, Ladarius, you know, like the super legit crazy athlete who's a hard ass. Him and Monica hate each other now. The coach.
Why?
And he never really specifies, or I might have missed it, but he just says there's like a lot of. I guess he wrote a bunch of mean shit about her on Twitter, saying she was like maybe like a hard ass and a jerk.
Yeah,
but it might be more specific than that, but. Basically, they're at odds now, and he just does like Instagram lives talking shit on her, and then
interesting.
And then like, there's the people who weren't highlighted in the first season who are bummed out now because they didn't get to get famous.
Yeah,
and it's just all this weird like meta kind of commentary on the first season. I'm like, I just want to follow a bunch of beast athletes trying to win something.
Yeah,
like the people on the team who weren't covered.
Mm-hmm. They're like, it's like their story now, and then so. That's they're so public now. They had to switch to another junior college that they like half follow during the show. That's like their crosstown rival.
Oh, interesting.
And they're actually better because they're not as affected by the camera yet or by the success of the show. But then you're like, I don't know if I have the bandwidth to care about two cheerleading teams.
Right.
I just need one.
Interesting.
They're so fucking cool though when they do flips and shit.
It's amazing.
Bro, Ladarius, dude, that fucking guy is a beast. What does he do? There's like stunting.
Stunting, tumbling, flying.
And he's like a stumbler because he stunts and tumbles, which is dynamic as hell. Like not many people can do that.
Dude, well said. Yeah. He's a beast. He's like one of the best athletes I've ever seen.
I think so too, yeah.
But it is a bummer.
I watched Sicario.
Bro.
One of the best movies ever.
It was good. Watched Tommy Boy yesterday.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Dude, I watched a biography of Chris Farley. It was It's pretty sweet. Although it gets sad.
Yeah.
It is sad.
He's awesome.
Adam Sandler's song about him, I watched that like once a month.
Is that from his recent special?
From his special. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
I need to rewatch that special. It's so, so good.
Nice. Super fun.
He, you know, it's like a tragic story, but he finds like the positivity in it.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, he basically lived the way he wanted to live.
Right.
And although it was tragic for him and for the people close to him, yeah, and all the people who loved him, it was not like, it's not all tragedy. There was a lot of beauty and stoke in it.
Totally. Is that a Goonies shirt? Mm-hmm. That's tight.
Christmas gift.
Really? From who?
My wife.
Nice.
Not so legit. Speaking of fucking Josh Brolin, dude.
Yeah.
What up, Goonies, think about dude? That.
Yeah, he was kind of in a downward dip in his career before No Country, right?
Brolin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't the A-lister that he was probably, or like A-minus lister.
Wasn't it kind of like a John Travolta thing? Kind of revived him?
Yeah, well, so he was big in the 80s during the... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But he started coming back a little bit before No Country.
Yeah.
He kind of built up to that. But there were smaller parts. It was like...
Yeah, he was in Hollow Man.
Melinda and Melinda.
Yeah, Hollow Man.
Dude. I watched that as a kid. Weird, dude.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a beast cast.
It's got a weird...
That was my first date with my high school girlfriend.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys get scared?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty scary.
Did you comfort her?
I hope so.
You're like, you're just like, babe, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the thought process, but I don't know that it happened.
I love Elizabeth Shue, dude.
Don't take a girl to a movie with a rape in it if you can avoid it.
Do you know one of the first movies I ever saw with my dank ass fiance was Girl with a Dragon Tattoo?
I just watched that this morning.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dude, you're beast moaning some movies. I love it. This is what happens when you're cooped up inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And crazy range on said movies.
Yeah.
I'm a bit obsessed right now.
Yeah, but you're taking in some good art.
Oh, for sure.
Fucking sick as hell.
David Fincher.
Fincher, dude.
Who do you got winning these playoff games this weekend?
Bro, my parlay's already fucked, dude. Eagles fucked me, dude. Couldn't fucking cover, dude. You can't cover.
Score.
31. Yeah, they could barely score a touchdown, dude. Disgusting, dude. Turned it off. Walked my dog, dude.
What did you think about that Raiders Chargers game? I mean, we're way behind on.
Oh, dude. I mean, do we believe that they were really going to kneel it? Are they just fucking with them?
I don't know. I don't know if they were going to go for the win, but there's, you know, there's the Austin Eckler click from afterwards.
True.
That good DN from Oakland is like, yeah, we were gonna kneel it out. But then people make points that they're like, you think they wanted to play the Chiefs instead of the Bengals?
Yeah, no, you don't want to play the Chiefs.
So yeah, it makes sense that they were going to go for it, but it's just
also
weird.
They're rivals, the Chargers and Raiders.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes, they want to destroy each other.
Yeah,
it's a win to kick them out.
Yeah,
it was interesting though. I thought they were going to kneel it. I kind of did because why risk it?
Yeah, their Chargers coach just like, I know he's a big analytics guy, but it's like, bro, you're going for four. He's like playing Madden. You're in a playoff game, essentially. You don't go for it fourth down and like five in your own 25-yard line,
fourth and
bro.
Run on his own 18.
Yeah,
and
his own 18.
And then he ran a really straightforward, just like up the gut run and got totally stuffed.
Yeah,
it made
bro.
Me think, dude, because when I was a kid, I didn't believe this. People would be like, oh, that team's a loser. That team always loses. I was like, yeah, but they switch owners and management and players so often. I don't know if that really continues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that really... if there is some kind of like essence to these teams that makes them losers. But now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like, some teams are losers. Like, are the Chargers just losers? Like every big critical down on that in that game, I felt like they choked.
Yeah.
Like that fourth down, letting up big third downs, getting penalties when they were like in advantageous positions. And I was like, maybe the Chargers are losers.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking losing mentality. Yeah. You got to step up, dude. You got to be able to play in the clutch, dude. You can't do that.
Yeah,
sitting on the couch.
Do you think if you have a consistent losing record over years that affects their subconscious?
That's what people say. And it's hard to prove that in stats, but yeah. I'm starting to believe it.
I could see that. I mean, Patriots, you know, we're the Patriots. We're going to win.
Yeah, if you get like a transcendent coach and an athlete, I think you can... Because the Patriots used to be like a loser team, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
And then once they got Brady and Belichick, they were strong enough to... rewrite the kind of mythology of it.
But even now, they've gotten better, right? Even without Brady, they're like still a good team.
They made the playoffs.
They got their asses fucking
smoked.
So we're recording this day two. This is Sunday. So first games of the playoffs were yesterday. And they got smoked.
Really?
But they kind of had it coming because they beat the Bills by only running the ball. They only threw it three times, which is like the least amount of passes since, I don't know, like the pre-modern era. And people were talking a lot of shit to the Bills after that. Like, they got out-muscled and out-toughed. Mm-hmm. And then the Bills hung like 50 on him yesterday and scored on almost every drive.
Fucking, there was a stat where Josh Allen had 5 touchdowns and 4 incomplete passes.
It was insane. Wow. Yeah. He was dominating.
Yeah, bro. He looked
good. He's so talented.
Yeah. He's a big boy, too.
He kind of like reminds me, he's like a more athletic Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got that gunslinger mentality. He's wily.
Yes.
He's got a big cannon of an arm that he can throw from weird angles.
Yeah, bro.
But then he can run. Like, yeah. I think he had 60 yards yesterday. My brother was really good because my brother was making picks. My brother had the Bengals winning and covering, and he had the Bills winning and covering. Both did. And then he said Josh Allen would be the leading rusher, and he almost was. He was like 20 yards behind Singletary, I think it was. But yeah, the Bills look good. And then Joe Burrow looks like a...
Love Joe Burrow. Cool. Do you see him wearing those fucking Tony Stark sunglasses?
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me a little bit of like Namath, like a little bit of Broadway Joe, you know?
He's got swagger.
Broadway Joe Burrow.
Jamar Chase did an interview who's unbelievable, and he said that Joe Burrow is very quiet off the field. I like that.
I like that too. Just lead with your fucking game, dude.
A quiet, confident man. That sideline pass he had was incredible, but it should not have counted.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I said yeah like I did.
Dude, I appreciate that. You're just supporting momentum.
Thank you.
Let's go.
We just got to keep it rolling.
Who's going to win today?
I mean, bro, I'm already fucked. I took the Eagles to cover, lost, but I knew the Bucks would win. Right now, this is the toughest game that's going on while we're recording. Dallas and Niners, I don't know. I took Dallas in my parlay, though. But I think the Niners were already on the board. But Dallas has to make it happen, bro. This is their moment. Highest scoring offense, dude. They've got a decent defense. They're at home. They're playing. The last time the fucking Niners and the Cowboys met up was in 94, that NFC championship game that the Cowboys dominated in Candlestick, dude, because of that vicious defensive line. But fucking, bro, Dallas has to step on. They got to make it happen, dude.
Is, who the fuck? Are the Rams still in the playoffs?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Bro, they got a tough matchup against the Cardinals.
I think they're better, but their two safeties are out. I don't even know who their safeties are. But
bro, they just took
the ticker.
Out of retirement, they just took what's-his-face, who was on the Chargers.
Weddle.
Weddle.
Yeah. Oh, Weddle's back?
They signed him out of retirement.
Yo, I don't want to get race-related, but this is all positive. Are we in the golden era of white position players?
Could be. You got McCaffrey's a running back. You got
McCaffrey was the best running back in the league for a year, and now Kupp's the best receiver in the league for a year. Within like 3 years of each other. When has that ever happened in our lifetime?
In our lifetime? No, dude.
It's crazy. Like, growing up, you're like, you can't be a white wide receiver.
Yeah.
You can't be a white running back. Unless you're going to be like a power back. You're going to be like Larry Zonka and weigh like 240. But we got like speedsters out there.
I think there was even a stat that I heard. He's not the best, but like there was a cornerback that was a white dude. And it was like the first time, I think, like a white cornerback started a game since like 93.
Seahorn in like the early, I think it was like 2001.
He was safety, wasn't he?
He switched to safety. He started at corner. Mm. Good-looking guy, too. That matters.
Yeah.
There was a new white corner?
I saw something on Instagram about this, which, so if I see it on Instagram, you know it's legit.
Well, to you white kids watching, which I'm sure is a small portion of our audience, anything is possible. Mm. You could play wide receiver in the NFL at a high level.
This is something that we also discussed.
And not
discuss.
Just be like a third down, like, you know, slot guy.
For sure. On our Wednesday men's club, we will discuss if you're a straight white dude. You can do stuff in this world, you know?
It's true. Well, athletically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are white Americans bad at basketball, though, when white Europeans are so good?
Probably... because the fucking Eurostep, dude, which I still don't understand. I look at it and I'm like, I don't understand how it makes sense.
It's kind of like when physics, you watch us play soccer, we're kind of stiff on the ball.
Yeah.
Where other countries are nimble in the hips and kind of have flow and a soft first touch. We kind of play like, we got like robot hips. Mm-hmm. You kind of see it at every school dance.
True.
Not a lot of good dancers. What? But is that a cultural thing or is it genetic?
What's the Eurostep?
You want to show sidestep. It's like you dribble at the hoop. You take like one huge step this way, and then with your off foot, you like jump back the other way.
Oh.
And you get the guy way out of place, and you do like an awkward angle kind of layup. And Manu Ginobili brought it, even though he's Argentinian, he was kind of the originator of it.
Yeah.
Dude, Vlade Divac, His son went to my school.
Whoa.
Yeah, for like a year.
Was good passing big man.
What's up?
Was he tall?
He's super tall.
Did he house cigs?
Dude, Vlade did. Vlade came in.
Oh, bro.
Dude. Just smelled like cigs and oh, he's the man.
Vlade loves cigs.
Vlade's cool. Yeah. He's a bad GM, but great player.
Dude, great beard.
Mm. Really good passing out of the post. Probably the softest touch on cutters I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He had one
just
of the
catch it and just dip without kind of looking. It'd always be over his shoulder like that.
His son smelled like cigs too.
Really?
We were in fifth grade.
Maybe because he drove him to school or something like that, was just housing cigs the whole time. Yeah. Vlade is like rolled up the window.
Yeah. My parents were smokers. Every time kids got in the car, they'd be like, "Do your parents smoke?" I was like, "Do your parents judge?"
Nice, dude.
Yeah, dude. Is your dad gonna get fucked?
Whoa. Like, well, fuck your dad. I was such a happy kid.
Whoa.
I was real happy.
Dude. Oh, whoa.
It's true. Yeah, we're good. We're
good. Buckle up.
All right, should we answer some cues?
Yes, sir.
Fuck yeah, dude.
What up, guys? I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know once again that we are brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that my dink and Strider's dink and Aaron's dinks look fresh and clean. Strider, how's your dink these days with Manscaped?
Dude, my dink is dank these days, dude. Especially with Valentine's Day coming around the corner, dude. I like to get my corners nice and right angled, dude, because I'm going to be showing my freaking dank fiance the right time, dude, which for me is quick, but we like that because we're dialed in. So yeah, I'm looking nice, feeling fresh for the special day, dude. It's gonna be sick as hell, dude.
And you throw some ball deodorant on there, right?
Of course, you got to keep things smelling nice.
Yeah,
you know, smelling fresh, you know, it's like walking into a new car or something like that. You're always charmed. Oh, what a great smell.
Yeah,
why not have that new car effect by your dink?
And you put on the Manscaped body wash, and what did your GF say to you?
She goes, "Smells like you're about to make some good-ass decisions." And nice. I go, "Thank you, because I'm a straight-up decision maker."
Nice.
And I decided to put this body wash on today, which was a good-ass call.
Listeners, don't you want the same for you and your lady friend? Get on the Manscaped train today. Get the Lawnmower 4.0. Get the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Get the body wash. Get the ball deodorant. Get everything. Get on the Manscaped train today. Get the Performance Package 4.0. That is everything in there. Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your Manscaped and get the cologne. You smell good. And if you want to do this, go to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping with the code GODEEP. Your balls and lady will thank you if you go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with code GODEEP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code GODEEP. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day. Thank you, Strider, for joining these ads.
Dude, freaking fired up. Appreciate my dog, dude.
Back to the show.
That cake really was really good you sent me. It's fucking
good?
Delicious.
Nice.
Yeah.
I almost got one for myself. I was like, that looks really good.
You should have, dude.
Yeah.
What was the cake?
It was like a Funfetti.
Yeah, it was like a Funfetti from Milk.
Oh, nice.
I love that place, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. It was nice. Ugh. Yeah, I was stuck inside, but everyone made me feel good.
And you got a dub on COD.
Got a dub on COD. Really trying to get a dub on COD. It's been booting everybody lately. I know that's going to be your beef of the week. We can get into it deeper there.
Say it more.
Got the dub at 11:59.
Was it in Caldera or Resurgence?
Caldera. We did a Resurgence one before that just because it was easier to drop into.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the Caldera dub and it ended at 11:59. So that's right in the calendar birthday day.
Dude, I haven't gotten a dub in Caldera yet.
You haven't got a dub in Caldera?
We gotta change that, bro.
Dude, yeah, you gotta get a dub in Caldera.
Yeah, I'm too focused on bagging, and I always get killed.
Mm-hmm. Balance, baby.
Yeah, I'd like to win while focusing on the bagging.
I have games where I just go non-win.
Yeah.
Like, the win is not what's most essential to me. I'm like, hey, let's drop the hottest place.
Yeah.
Let's duke it out. Let's create a funny memory.
Yeah.
And then I have days where I'm like, all right, I want to get a W today.
Yeah. You know, I haven't just lately in my mind, it's been, I just need to drop sack.
Well, you got to honor that. Just go with that as long as you need to.
Yeah.
The win will come.
Yeah.
And also, it's a time thing. If you're not playing all the time and you're just dipping in once in a while, then you're going to prioritize what brings you the most joy. And for you, that's bagging.
Yeah, and I just wish that reflected in your stats somehow.
Yeah.
You know, because it'd be like, oh, you got all these deaths and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but...
But you were bagging.
Did you see what I was doing?
Yeah. I got bagged by a stranger.
Dude, that's my favorite.
Yeah. But not in Caldera, just in regular life.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. I was at the Vons parking lot.
Oh, dude, I hear that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, do you want bags with that? And I thought, I was like, oh, no, it's not that many groceries.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no. And his buddy tabletop me. This was two middle schoolers. They tabletop me.
Yeah.
And then they both started bagging me and vaping. And the whole air around me smelled like guava ice.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're just like vaping and going, and they were laughing like, take it. And I was getting bagged. And I'm a full grown adult. I can't like really hit back or fight them because I'm
hit them.
I'll be hitting kids.
You can do that.
Really?
But keep going.
Yeah. So I just sat there and took the bag, dude. And they were wearing corduroys and one had a chain wallet and it hit me in the eye.
The one part I noticed is why did you laugh with them when they were bagging you?
I guess I did appreciate how hard they were dominating me and how hard I was getting dominated. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is just like, sometimes you just have to laugh. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have humility.
Dude, you're a legend for doing that.
Dude, thank
you. That's awesome.
Oh, God. I want to get in there.
Why? Yeah, get in here. You're not that far.
I told you I'm fatigued.
That's right. And we got a lot of hardware in between us.
We do have a lot of hardware. It's a lot of maneuvering. Did they steal any of your groceries?
No, that was the thing, dude. They really just wanted to bag me. They could have stole my groceries and I had dank shit, dude.
Yeah, because you were on a tampon run for your girlfriend, right?
Yeah, I had those. And yeah, I had a few of those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I, yeah. And
but that was all you had.
That's it. That's why they, I was like, all I have is tampons. I don't really have that much. Like, I didn't need a bag.
Right, but I didn't mean
that. That's why I was like, oh no, I only got these.
And then you bought 40 of them.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I just bought them in bulk.
You bought in bulk, yeah.
I go, you know, be ready. You know, that's what I say. Yeah. It's like, you know, 10 minutes early is on time.
Yeah.
And when I'm on a run for my freaking dank ass fiance's product, I'm like, let me just have these stocked up, ready to go.
Why everyone's so convinced the apocalypse is coming?
Bro, we're never going to get back to, I mean, maybe we will, but everyone's reaction to COVID was, how am I going to wipe my anal?
Right.
That was it. It wasn't,
it crystallized our fears.
Cover up. Yeah. People are really afraid of their buttholes being dirty.
That would suck.
Do you guys think the end is coming? Is the end of the world coming soon?
Nah.
That's what I love to hear. That's good. Everyone's so obsessed with it.
Yeah. No, I never think that. Because I'm just like, you know, I guess there have been cataclysmic events, you know, in the past. But to that, I say, nah.
And I think this next generation is strong. I mean, those middle schoolers, I think between them, maybe weighed 140 pounds.
Yeah.
They put me on the ground quick. I think our country's in good hands if those kids are going to be the ones running it. They had spiked haircuts, and they were fucking...
Spiked hair's back?
Yeah, these
was
guys
it gel?
Spiked hair. Oh yeah, dude, crisp and
firmly
hard.
Gelled.
I was happy they were bagging me with their corduroy nut sacks rather than their spiked
hair. They
could
have porcupined you. That's what we used to call it.
After they bagged you, they gave you like a little mini lecture on the importance of recycling all those tampons. Right?
Yeah, exactly. They said, but I do get. They didn't know. They didn't really label, but I do get the eco-friendly ones. My dank ass fiance requests that for less in our carbon footprint. I said, oh guys, correction. And then I think that's honestly why one of the guys decided not to give me a people's elbow. He said he was going to people's elbow me.
But you said the tampons weren't for your fiance. You were just buying them for people in your building?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have a little area with this bookshelf in our building where if you're not using something or you have extra, which is, I think, a beautiful thing, you can put it down there.
Yeah.
And I actually do put that down there.
Yeah.
For anyone who needs it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I got
bagged. That's the real reason I buy bulk.
Well, I got bagged by my teenage neighbor because I don't compost.
Oh yeah, we compost. My fiance and I can hook you up with a spot if you need it.
Frogtown. Well, he's like, you're gonna throw that banana peel in the trash, you should compost. And they bagged me.
Yeah,
I got bagged by this 18-year-old. He didn't want to, and I just kept grabbing his jeans and yanking him down onto my face.
Oh, you forced him on it.
Oh, whoa. Mm-hmm. I forced him to bag me.
Yeah,
because you were looking to get bagged.
I wanted to get dominated.
Yeah,
but I still wanted to be in control.
Yeah,
so I was on my bird, and there was just some 18-year-olds hanging out, talking shit.
Yeah,
they were being chuggy.
Yeah,
and then I just dragged one of them down onto my face.
Dude, you know the crazy thing about all these guys? Like you told me this, and my neighbor told me this. They all know Kevin.
Whoa, Kevin's kind of like father.
Yeah,
father Chugs.
Yeah,
Aaron, do you think the end of the world's coming?
No,
that's what's up. No, if Aaron says it, you know it's true. Do you guys want to answer some questions?
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Is there civil war coming? For sure.
Oh, dude.
But not Armageddon.
Nice.
What's so civil about war? Situation in the sack. Please remain anonymous. What up, Chiefs of Chill? I had held down on mashing beans until I was 21, over a year ago, and much to my surprise, I did not bust quick. Sorry. It was the opposite, in fact. I've laid pipe many more times since then, and I always have the same problem, not being able to cross the finish line with the exception of one senorita. I feel bad for my female companions, as they often apologize, even though they have nothing to do with it. Any advice on how to overcome this hurdle? I should mention I do not jack off, so I'm always rocking a full tank. Your loyal subject.
Wait, what's the turtle?
Hurdle. I think he meant to say hurdle.
He's not coming.
Oh, he's not coming?
Yeah.
Well, but sort of interesting, the tortoise and the hare, right? Slow and steady wins the race.
Right. When they're...
I don't know how it maps out exactly over this dude's queue. Which honestly, dude, I would just say this. Really, in the term of like the grand scheme of things, of problems, not that big of a problem that you're lasting too long.
Yeah, bro.
I would say that's borderline even not a problem.
Yeah, it's cool.
If you wanted some advice, I would think of other dirty things while you're having sex to help you get over the finish line. Not ideal, but hey, if you're really concerned about busting, just think about whatever pervy things get you there. Mm-hmm. And then also, I would just J off with your partner while you guys like kiss and then bust that way.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. That's intimate too.
Yeah. And then I don't know, man. I think you're good too. I think when you find the right person, it'll work itself out. But honestly, I think you're in a good spot. I like that you were intentional about losing your virginity. And it's great. You're able to fuck for a while. That's really cool.
And maybe he's uptight, dude. Sometimes, you know, you can't bust if you're not
letting yourself go.
Just get loose.
Right.
Relax. Dude,
I used to do that. I used to not make noise with one of my partners because I was insecure with her a little bit. Just because we had so many friends. I was like, I don't want them to think I come weird.
I make a lot of noise, so you know.
I'd come like this. Like, well, I didn't see you come. I saw you about to come.
Yeah.
And you were like, ha, 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 ha.
Dude, and do you know what I do when I come? It's fucking stone cold, dude.
Dude, you were not so full bodied. But you know what, man?
Yeah, it's everything. It's a little death, as the French say.
Dude, if you could have seen my face when I saw you, and I went, I was horrified. I was like, I shouldn't be seeing this. Shit. I'm being bad. I felt bad.
Yeah, it's my bad, dude. I left the door open.
You did leave the door open in a common space, though.
It's my bad, dude.
You should.
You wanted to get.
I was horning it, dude. That's the thing. Tell this guy. That got me extra going. Dude, that got me.
Those kids that bagged you.
Yeah.
You should show them how you come.
That is true. Yeah. I should say, you're lucky I don't bag you. And they go, oh, yeah. What if you did? You know what it would be like?
That is what it's like. It's like you're on a horse and you're trying to get it to go faster after a bandit.
Dude, that's a great call.
Yeah.
And then if I might nut to it,
and then when you go, whoa. Why do horses understand that noise?
I don't know, dude.
Why does that noise work so well with the horse? There's got to be something in their ears, dude.
But dude, this guy's got to just mellow out, dude. I would say put on a good, you know what, dude? Put on a nice album. Maybe some deep house music.
Dude.
Cry in front of her. Just cry in front of her.
If you found some Purple Disco Machine,
bro,
you're going to bust
too
quick.
What's Purple Disco Machine?
It's just this dank ass DJ that fires me up.
Let's go.
Oh, you want to play some Purple Disco?
Yeah, I got it right here.
I'll play
right
some Purple Disco. Wow.
You think this will help him bust?
If you're cranking to this.
Yeah, bro.
I need sunglasses if I'm gonna bone.
Yeah, this is cool.
This is sick. Cool.
Whoa.
This is good, dude.
This is how you fuck at midnight, dude.
Dude, isn't that sick?
Yeah.
Did you ever play that game Project Gotham Racing?
Dad, dude, like, yeah,
that's a sexy
dude.
Game.
That is a
dude,
sexy
you know,
game.
You sexier, though.
Sexy game.
I think Need for Speed takes the cake.
Yeah, Need for Speed is sexy. Is Need for Speed the one where cops will chase you for a while, too?
Yeah, dude.
That's hot.
Need for Speed 2?
That's hot.
Dude, this guy should play Need for Speed 2 while you bone.
Yes, game while you bone.
My brother's going to hear this and correct me, but there was like a... Was it Project Gotham? Is that the one you just said?
Yeah.
Or like Racing Underground? Is that the one that also had like drifting?
Yes. You would drift a lot and it was tough to drive.
But there was a drifting race. You could challenge someone to a drifting race.
I don't know about
that. And
then
there was also drag racing in it. Like they had all the it was like post Fast and Furious. So they had all these different permutations of racing.
Ooh.
And but it was all in sexy cars like you're saying. Like sleek lines.
And the coloration of it was like reflecty.
Everything looked like a Bugatti with like a nice sheen.
Dude, in Need for Speed 2, I had a Nissan Skyline.
That's your favorite car, right?
Yeah, it's street glow and everything. It looked like Paul Walker's in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Sick.
And dude, that's what made me first come when I was like, I was like 11 and
you busted at 11?
Dude, I busted,
You busted at 11?
I was getting chased by some cops.
You didn't bust at 11, bro.
So you were running from cops in real life and you came.
Bro, I heard you didn't bust at 11, dude.
Dude, I busted. Aaron was there. He saw it.
Aaron.
Aaron, you saw Aaron,
was it real?
I was like 18.
Yeah, he was my babysitter.
Ew. Aaron, you fucking perv.
Whoa.
Aaron, ew, dude.
I busted and he's like, Five Guys is still better.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dude,
you made it about hamburgers,
demented,
dog?
Yeah.
Dude, psycho. Yo, Chad and JT, huge fan of the pod. I come to you for guidance with an issue that I need Stoke Nation to help me with. I'm currently a senior in high school and I have a younger brother that is a freshman. Recently, I was going to the car and saw him hooking up with a girl in my car. I didn't handle the situation to the best degree because they kind of saw me seeing them and proceeded to run away. Ever since this has happened, my brother has been trying to walk all over me. This event has given him confidence to think that it's acceptable to use my car as a hookup location because I'm trying to keep that whip clean. And it's my car, you know? I don't want him hooking up in my car. I'm asking for advice to handle this situation. I don't want to cock block my younger brother, but I need to be able to put my foot down and put down some ground rules, but can't quite muster up the balls to do so. No matter what I do, I can't get him to respect me in my car. Let me know what you think. I appreciate any advice you guys have to give and look forward to hearing your wisdom. Dude, one of the all-time great write-ins. I just want you to hear my legend of the week, dude. You fucking crushed this, bro.
Your little brother's the man, dude. Dude, first of all, this dude's got to go out and just get himself some. And you got a cool car. You should be able to do it. Come on, dude.
Yeah, dude.
And get your brother a blanket and create a nice space for him to bone in, dude. Come on. Sharing is caring, bro.
In the car?
Yeah,
dude. You would not have let Matthew do that in your car.
Yeah, I would have, dude.
Audi?
Yeah, bro.
No, you would not have, dog.
I would have curated a nice space. I had a 10-inch sub. I would have been like, bro, put on some fucking... If I would have known about Purple Disco Party, I would have said put that on. Purple Disco Machine, dude. I'd say put on some fucking Moby, dude.
Wait, you're against the boning in the car.
If the brother's not cool with it, I think you got to respect people's space. Yeah.
That is true.
I think you should let him bone in the car.
But you got to respect someone who doesn't want it to happen in their space.
Exactly. He does create the boundaries. And Chad and I are both kind of telling him that we want him to change his perspective. But if he doesn't want to change his perspective, which I think he fucking should, your younger brother does need to respect your rules. Your rules.
It does sound like the little brother's trying to dominate him a little bit, too. There does seem to be an overt dominant. Or do you think he's interpreting that? I think it's there. I think the brother's trying to dom him.
I don't think so. I think I would have boned in my brother's car to try and impress him.
That's nice. But you're a younger brother.
Yeah.
And so you're a younger brother.
Yeah. I used to jack off in my brother's space. Dude, I used to jack off on my brother's BMX bike.
I think direct communication is what's needed here. I just... Talk to your little brother, be like, bro, I'm not trying to cock block you. I'm stoked on you hooking up with chicks. I'm stoked that you're out there living life and that you're having a fun one. But I would just ask that you hook up in mom and dad's car.
Right.
Dominate your parents. Don't dominate your brother.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe just because I'm a younger brother, the idea of his younger brother hooking up in the car, I think if I were an older brother, would fire me up. I'd be like, dude, hell yeah. And when you get a car, I'm hooking up in it before you.
Okay, I could be down with it. But the fact that the little brother and the girl ran away like they're not letting him in on the joke. It's one thing for your little brother to be like, hey man, can I borrow your car to hook up? Because I don't have anywhere else to go.
Then
you're like, yeah, I'm the big brother. I'll tee you up with that.
Yeah.
But for them to be laughing at him and running away, it's like...
It's whack.
He's not in on it.
They need to be more of a team.
I didn't realize they were laughing at him, like kind of fucking punking him.
Maybe I'm overreading. Let me go back to it. They just proceeded to run away. They didn't laugh. I added more laughter and made it more savage.
I thought it was a heartwarming story. And if you just change your perspective a little bit, then, you know, it could be for you too.
We got a good cue here. Fantasy football punishment refusal. What up, legends? Hope all is well in the new year, and I'll get right to the issue. Fantasy football has come to a close, and there are winners and there are some losers. The loser of our league this year has been MIA for days now, and seems he's refusing to do the punishment. This isn't the first time he's done this. 2 years ago, he was supposed to do a lemonade stand in town until he had enough money to buy a 30 rack. This was never performed. This year, he's supposed to make some TikTok dances and post them on a story with no context. However, he's gone ghost. He's a huge fan of the pod, and I know you're listening, Coogan. How do we receive this? Someone has to be punished. Peace.
Hmm. He's out.
I think Aaron's right, dude. I think you got to get booted, dog.
Yeah, get booted, dude.
Because those are good punishments.
Great punishments.
Yeah. Those are really good punishments. Those fit what is happening. Those fit a fantasy football league loser. And if you're not doing that, it's bad for the morale of the league.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing with the fantasy football league is everyone has to care about it the same amount. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it work. And if there's a guy in there who's not caring about it by not doing the things you guys all agree to that give it stakes,
you're out. Dude, you enter. This is a bet. You enter. It's not like this is coming out of thin air where they're like all of a sudden, dude, you got to go do this, Coogan. It's like, no. You knew there's a punishment. You played the entire season. You could have won, but you didn't. Things don't fall your way sometimes. Maybe you got an injury, Derrick Henry, whatever. And then you got to fucking face the music, bro. You can't say, oh, I'm Mr. Special. And this is coming from me, dude, the guy who didn't want to start his D. You know, this is coming. You got to take your licks. You know what I mean, dude? That's part of betting, dude. It's the beauty of it.
Integrity of the league.
Exactly.
He's violating it.
You got to protect that.
I don't even play fantasy, but I know this is wrong.
Yeah, bro.
I know it's wrong, and you know it's wrong. His name is Coogan. Coogan, come on.
That's the worst, bro. You're like that's like the dude who like loses in beer pong, and he's like, "Oh no, I got a new partner."
Yeah,
because my partner had next, but then he chose me, so I'm still staying on the table. And it's like, always looking for a fucking loophole, bro.
Yeah, dude.
No, Coogan, you got to do it. It's good for the spirit of the league. It'll make next season better if you do it. That's the thing. You're just not looking out for the league. The league's bigger than any member, mm-hmm. you know? And when Strider tried to do that thing with the defense, he was acting bigger than the league. And that's why it was so so hurtful to so many of us.
Mm-hmm. I hurt the people I love. It's what I do.
All right. I think we're good on cues. Those were good ones.
Yeah.
Chad, what is your beef of the week, dude?
My beef of the week... Isolation.
Good beef, man.
Yeah, because I I had to stay home for Christmas, and I got COVID, and I was pretty isolated. And I'm like, I'm a pretty introverted dude, you know. But I was realizing, and like, I honestly had this fantasy of doing Christmas alone. I'm like, that would be interesting, and I did it, and I was like, this is whack, dude. And I was like, it made me realize the importance of having people around and being around people, family during the holidays. And, you know, just being around people is important. And that's why I was like, made a shift in my mind. I was like, when I'm done with COVID, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out in the world as much as I can be. Not that I was a shut in, you know, like a recluse. Like I am out there a lot, but I'm going to make more of an effort to be social because I don't think I'm as big of an introvert as I was saying I was. I think I was telling myself that story, but I think I like being around people more than being alone, which I didn't think before.
That's awesome, man. Similar experience too. Like the first couple of days of isolation, I was like, this is awesome. I'm getting back in touch with myself.
Yeah.
I'm not diffusing my energy with just like a bunch of hangouts because I don't want to be alone. But then after like a week, it's diminishing returns. I was like, bro, I need people.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I was seriously thinking, I was sitting in my place. I was like, am I going to be fucked up permanently from this? Like, you know, being isolated for too long. Am I going insane?
You do kind of go insane. And I started making mountains out of molehills about every problem.
Yeah.
Because you know, you don't have any frame of reference for any of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking about like, you know, isolation from like COVID, you know, it's been like 2 years and I was thinking about that because I was like, man, I'm like so isolated in this. I've been for a few weeks now, and there really isn't any sort of thing of like, oh, this is something people go through, but they bounce back. And it's like, this is sort of unprecedented, this, what's been going on. So I was like, maybe I could get fucked up. I don't know. You know, this is not something that people go through normally, you know, so.
I think you're right, man.
I mean, people have had much worse. I'm not complaining. I have a great life, but it was a, you know, there's some
there's this movie, The Secret in Their Eyes. They made an American remake that I guess sucks, but the original version, this guy's, they're trying to track down this killer who killed this lady, and they find out that the victim's husband actually has had him. Guys, total spoilers. I'm spoiling the whole fucking movie. Has the murderer in captivity, and so the journalist who's investigating, or the cop who's investigating, finds the guy at the house, and when the guy who murdered the wife comes out, he's just been stuck in this cell that the victim's husband put him in for like 20 years. He comes out, he doesn't say free me, he just goes, will you just please tell him to talk to me?
But isn't that the crazy thing about life, where it's like, we're by ourselves so much? Does that mean that we don't really like ourselves, but then this whole time in life we're looking for someone to love us and hang out with us?
Yes.
But it's like, aren't we...
That's not wrong, though.
Are we innately selling someone a product that we know is flawed?
Right.
Like, we're all salesmen, basically snake oil salesmen, but we're like, no, man, I'm lovable and fun. I'm the best, man. You're going to want to be around me, but I can't fucking be around me by myself for more than 24 hours.
That is the tough part.
That's like life.
The salesmanship part is that we're acting like we are okay alone because that's attractive to a partner. But the truth is, we fundamentally want someone to watch us be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretending like we don't need that. But dude, that's just hardwired.
We all need it.
That's hardwired into our biology. We can't, the game is the game.
Exactly. It's like rats, just the rules.
Animals do it too. I'm sure a moose elk or bull elk is like, hey, I'm good by myself. And then the lady's like, oh, he doesn't really need me. That's better. Yeah.
Yeah, it isn't. Trickery is innate, all sorts of nature. Your birds of paradise, all of these things. There has to be some sort of tomfoolery.
There's a flirt. Rats do it. Mm-hmm. The woman flirts with the guy. If the guy comes on too strong, she bails. If he waits too long, she bails. It's like a competency game. You're just testing the competency of your partner. And that's just part of it.
Dude, that's like that cow, that bean flick.
Murked.
You know, he probably was doing the same shit.
Beanflick, he kisses that cow every day, he says, even though he had to do 6 months of solitary confinement. And he had to be solitary for that.
Right.
But they let him keep the cow head.
Yeah, that's nice.
He loved it so dear.
Yeah.
That's a good beef, man. That's probably my real beef of the week. I have another one, but that's my beef too. The isolation was hard.
It's tough, man.
Strider, what's your beef of the week?
Sort of playing off this isolation, one of the biggest, I called it medicine for COVID, which was playing COD with my fucking boys.
Call of Duty.
Yep, Call of Duty and Warzone. Even after the update, it is so fucking glitchy, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. I've had it up to here with getting booted, bro.
Seeing that ricochet screen?
Oh, dude, if I have to see that ricochet thing one more time, which I do appreciate that they put anti-cheat in there.
Stopping the cheaters. There's still wall bangers and all the rest of it.
Exactly, bro. Didn't work. And then on top of that, you're just booting. Dude, you get booted nonstop. Everyone. And it's not everyone's internet or their Xboxes. It's the fucking servers, dude. Because it's happening to everyone. And we all live in different parts of the country. And it's consistent. And it's pissing me off. And we'll sit there with our boys. And we're all getting mad trying to hang out and have fun and rack dubs and bag. And we fucking can't do it. And it's the one good thing we have.
But we found joy in it.
We did. We would laugh about it. We found joy in
how much we were getting kicked. Being on comms together.
Your brother made the best point where like someone would get kicked. And people would go, dude, are you serious? And no one joked around about it once. He goes, and no one's tricked anyone about it ever. It's just we all can't believe it.
Dude, I got convinced that Call of Duty isn't just a video game for us. But the fact that we're getting booted so much, I think aliens watch us play Call of Duty and they laugh at how many times we get kicked and how many times we still try to game after that.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, they're going to try and join a game for the 43rd time today. These guys are amazing. They take bets on it. They're like, I can't believe you did more than 40 attempts at a reboot.
It's like when you take the fucking laser pointer for a cat. Like, that's what aliens are doing for us. Like, look how cute it is and funny it is when they chase the laser pointer.
I'm trying to play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it was my birthday and we couldn't get in there. And dude, I had a big dramatic moment. I was like, you know what, guys? You guys have tried so hard to get me into a game and I really appreciate it. But at this point, I just got to bail. It was like a 5-minute speech. And then I go, wait, I'm in at the end.
It was so funny, dude. He was super selfless and super sincere. He's like, look, because we had like 9 dudes on and we were kind of both able to rack a game.
9 guys on. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. All there for JT's birthday party. And fucking, And then JT gets the one left out, and we were like, no, we're not going to leave JT out. But it was so hard to rat games that we're like, dude, we kind of got to leave you out. And he's like, no, it's fine. I get it. It's chill, guys. I'm going to chill here. Don't worry. I'll stay on comms. It's beautiful. And we're like, all right, man. All right. He goes, wait, no, hold on, man.
It was like a Groundhog Day moment. I became selfless, and I got to be in the game. Then I got booted again. But the laugh we got was beautiful. We made beauty out of it.
That's nice.
But, dude, they got to fix that. They got to fix
Call of Duty. The guns don't load either.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even see your gun.
The gun glitch, bro. And then the freezing on the buy box glitch, dude. I'm getting fucking cluster striked doing that.
Aaron, what do you think?
Are you really?
Yeah, bro.
I didn't know that was a glitch.
No, I got killed at the box. I killed someone at the box and I clipped it because it was so fun.
Yeah.
He was just sitting there frozen. I was like, easiest kill of my life. Yeah. Dude, I got to say, too, one of the greatest pleasures, I play with randos sometimes. I'll just get thrown into a group, you know, on Rebirth or Call of Duty. Yeah. Playing with strangers is beautiful because you get this opportunity to be selfless for a stranger.
That's nice.
So I'll go out of my way to revive a stranger, someone I don't know, and get him up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, maybe he's going to get another stranger up because of that.
Yeah.
And that, bro, that makes me feel good about how I'm living my life.
I'll play Rebirth and I'll hear like a prepubescent fucking kid saying like, bitch, mother effer and stuff. And I'm like, you need to not talk like that. And then they'll hear my voice and they'll be like, whatever, old man. I got called old
man. No way. Really?
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not even that old. Shut up. You just shouldn't say that type of stuff.
But that's nice. Amazing, but that's great. That's great dialogue.
It is nice that I can hopefully affect them, but they don't listen, dude.
Dude, I played with a couple of kids and they were amazing. And we won like four games.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dude, I played with a group of guys and they were actually on comms. So we were talking. I was like, hey guys, I kind of suck. Like, let's play. And they were like, all good, dude. I rev them. They rev me. We had a decent game. We finished like 10th.
Nice.
And then I was like, you guys want to play again? And then they jumped into a new game without me.
Oh, dude.
No, it was hilarious. It was brutal, but it was hilarious. I was like, you know.
Yeah, dude, we'll see you in the next round.
Yeah, some relationships aren't meant to last.
Have fun. Have fun out there, man.
Aaron, do you have a beef of the week?
I do. My Fire Stick is fucking failing constantly. I mean, piggyback on what you're saying. Like, I get like, I was trying to watch the new Peacemaker show with John Cena. Yeah.
With Queen Latifah?
No, that's...
The Equalizer?
Equalizer, yeah. My Fire Stick keeps failing.
What's a Fire Stick?
The Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh, right.
Plug it into the back of your TV and you get to eat all the apps and stuff.
Oh, okay.
In our living room, I have an old TV. My TV that I bought when I first moved to LA.
Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, it's constantly forcing me to reboot and saying it's not on the network. And it's like literally a foot and a half from the Wi-Fi, from the router. So it's just really fucking annoying.
It's the worst, dude.
I'm going to have to buy a new TV.
Boner jam, dude.
Which, fine. The TVs are cheap now, but it's annoying.
You going to get a Roku?
No, I'll just have a smart TV that'll have all the apps already.
That's fucking tight.
Right?
Is it going to be one of those that look like a painting when it's turned off? You seen that?
Those
are pretty sick.
I don't think I don't need anything for Ruby to look at. At this point, I just needed to focus on us and listen to our voices.
Yes.
Nice. She's walking. She's running and everything. And
it's pretty
brutal. Is it already baby-proofed, the house and shit?
I did a lot of it when she was crawling, but now it's not even... you can't baby-proof her slamming her head in something.
Right.
Or pouncing on the dog and he bites her.
I was doing that when you were babysitting me.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
just nonstop.
Yeah.
I love that.
But you, I can put in a headlock. You know what I'm saying?
What's up?
I could put in a headlock.
Oh, he did. He gave the best headlocks.
Yeah.
Dude, he's fucking master noogie guy.
Yeah. Chad, what's your baby of the week? Or who's your baby of the week?
My baby of the week is, he's been mentioned before, Simon, Zed's buddy.
Let's go, dude.
Well, he's a legend, first of all. Nice. He and Anton are absolute legends.
Anton Zed's real name.
Yeah. And, but Simon, at New Year's, gave me this crystal, and I was like, it's like, it's supposed to have good luck, and I'm pretty psyched on it
because dude,
I'm just rocking this crystal. I'm being an accessory guy. I'm into getting more into accessories, and I just want to say thank you, dude. I'll probably give it back at some point, but for now I just love rocking it. And
new year, new you, dude. You got to do that stuff.
Dude, yeah.
That's fucking cool. The new year's great for that. I love that we come up with resolutions.
Yeah.
Dude, Simon's the man.
He's the man.
He's such a great guy.
Yeah.
So fun and so loving. Just the best.
And he says all the best stuff.
Amen. Who's your baby of the week?
Simon Says, dude. Fucking legend.
Oh, I didn't even get that, dude.
was messing around, dude. Dude, I was messing around. It's a classic dad joke.
You
dude.
Having fun?
No, just cutting it up, you know, dude. Just with the boys, keeping the list, dude. You know what I mean? Easy, baby. Dude, my legend of the week's got to be this dude, Leonardo. He's my one and only patron. I started a Patreon, dude.
This is real?
For real. Just Patreon, Strider Wilson, dude. I've got one guy, dude, and his name's Leonardo, and he's a fucking beast, and I'm going to fucking put out some good shit for you, my dog, so I appreciate you, dude, being a Patreon, dude. So that's fucking tight.
That's
Thank
awesome.
You, Leonardo.
Guys, join Strider's Patreon.
Yeah, join that. And we're going to have one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have some really good ideas.
You guys have one up. I follow really you guys.
Yeah.
But we're going to start putting content out on it.
Let's go. And, there you go.
And listen to History is Dank.
Thank you.
Listen
yes.
to History is Dank. It's yes. a great show.
And Joe Code.
We're trying to make some more of that bread.
Yeah, baby.
Aaron, who's your baby of the week?
My baby of the week is the show Reservation Dogs. Have you guys seen it? It's on Hulu. It's on Hulu. It's on FX. It's that FX Hulu thing. I think it's only on FX Hulu, though. It's not on the channel. It's great. It's just a show that follows like these four little, yeah, like teenage kids. They're probably like 15 on a reservation, and it's just hilarious. Taika Waititi is like a co-creator on it. And it's just
Does it
really
take place in that part of the world? Is yeah, it New Oklahoma. Zealand, Australia?
Oklahoma.
Oh, copy that.
On the reservation, yeah.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense.
So yeah, it's a native, primarily native show.
That's why he relates yeah, yeah. to it so deeply. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And the other, there's a comic named Sterling Harjo, who's also a co-creator on it.
Good name.
But yeah, it's just great. There's a lot of like actors you've seen in other things, you know, native actors you've seen in other things that are in this that are just being, instead of being like the stereotypical, you know, Native American character they've played in something else or whatever, you know, like Zahn McClarnon is this actor who's on Fargo season two, where he's like this amazing hitman.
Nice.
But on this, and you'd remember that, you know, like that guy. But in this show, he's just like a fuck up cop that can't get anything right. Like, but he's just like a comical
character.
They get
to be more three dimensional.
Yeah,
characters.
Yeah, yeah,
they don't
yeah.
have to be like.
Yeah,
it's, this is a Native American
and then
character,
and then they have
in
like
reaction.
Yeah,
to this
and then they have Wes Studi.
I was gonna say
Amazing.
Wes Studi. Best
yeah,
in it,
a beast.
Wes Studi.
Heat, Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, Last of the Mohicans.
Geronimo.
Heat. Geronimo.
You just watched that.
Amazing yep. actor in dramatic stuff.
Yeah,
he just plays this weird guy on one episode.
That's awesome.
That's
it's
what I was hoping.
Completely comical. It's
he's
so
such a good,
good.
Actor. Such
and
a
I'm glad he's alive. I was gonna ask you. I was like, is he still around?
He's got cancer or something.
Could be, I mean, he's just old now, right?
Just
how old is he?
A long time.
Yeah, but he's fit, dude.
Yeah. Oh, bro, he is fit. Yeah.
He still is. Tight. Still looks good. But yeah, he's just playing this wacky, like, weirdo who lives in town. I mean, it's just, and oh, Bill Burr's on an episode.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Nice.
He's like a high school basketball coach for this one of the girl characters who's going through some shit, and they both go through it, like, together. It's he's also doing a... They go through this whole big thing during a driver's test.
Nice.
It's really good.
Half hour?
Half hour.
Single cam?
Single cam, yeah.
Let's go.
Kirk Fox is in it as like
one
of the leader of this white meth group in town. All funny. It's all funny. They play with some tropes, you know, some native tropes that, you know, the spirituality and stuff like that. It's really funny. It's a really great show. Check it out.
I'll check it out.
My baby of the week, I have two. My first one is Michelle Moynihan, the actress. She kind of gets like thankless parts sometimes. Like she's got to be like mm-hmm. the wife of mm-hmm. like the hard charging lead. And that's a tough part. But dude, she crushes it. Like she's so good in Mission Impossible 3. Really good performance.
Oh, that's her?
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then, but dude, I just watched Source Code again, which is a really good movie. Duncan Jones, David Bowie's kid directed it. And it's Jake Gyllenhaal. And I think in one of his best performances, I put it in his top three. And she is amazing in Source Code because she's just this, it's like a Groundhog Day kind of concept again, where he's just going through the same experience over and over again. And she has to be this person who he learns to fall in love with through her inherent goodness and just like great vibes. And she crushes it. And then she has all these little beats where she has to react to this character who's kind of crazy. And she just always exudes like, a really solid, nice person.
Who she is in, like, True Detective.
Same. Yeah.
True Detective. She fucking beats. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. She's great.
She's amazing in that. She's a great actress. Super mm-hmm. underrated. And I think she's gotten some other stuff, like, on TV where she's been, like, the main person and she's gotten to flex more muscles. But I just love watching her, and she's I think she's just a really underrated actress. And then my other babe of the week is the dude at my vape shop, Smoke Shop on Melrose. Dude, me and him have been slowly building into like a really nice rapport. Nice. And I went in there today to get two more Kiwi Strawberry Hype Bars. And then he goes, how you doing, dude? I go, I'm doing really good, man. And then I took a beat and went, I guess. And then he just laughed and he was like, well, you feeling like Europe good? And I was like, yeah, I think I am feeling Europe good. He goes, where are we going?
Whoa.
And I go, where are we going? He goes, I don't know, Germany. I go, dude, I heard Berlin's great. And then another guy walks in, so I grab my bars and I'm walking away. And I go, all right, dude, send me the itinerary. He goes, no, you send me the itinerary.
Whoa.
And I go, dude, I'm on it. I'm on it. And are we ever going to go to Germany? No. I don't know, but we go to Germany in our heads every time I see him.
What a dank interaction.
And it's nice to watch us grow and evolve.
Don't it, well, dude, you know who's playing in Germany this summer? Limp Bizkit.
Oh. What about Purple Disco Face?
Dude, I've been trying to follow where he's going to... Machine.
Purple Disco Machine, my fat. My bad.
I like that you guys mess it up every time. Purple Disco House. Purple Disco Face.
Yeah.
I think he's mostly in Europe, but we should go see him.
I really dug that little bit you gave us.
Dude, it's best to work sick. Out, too. Purple Disco Machine, sick.
And what a great call. People are like, oh, you're going to Europe for the museum, for the art. Well, yeah, we are. To see a fucking sick DJ.
Yeah, we're going
to
see.
That's a good call to get.
And they don't let you have your cell phones there.
Yeah.
No cell phones in Berlin.
Really?
I heard that from someone outside a bar one time. Whoa. Spliff. Another great person.
I was in Berlin once and they were doing a fucking weed parade.
Nice.
Dude.
I was like, this is a cool ass city, dude.
Does Germany rip?
I think Germany does rip now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they've really turned it around to become fucking chill.
That's tight.
Chad, who's your legend of the week?
My legend of the week is so in the new MacGruber TV show, there's a sex scene, and I thought it was really legendary. I'll play it for you guys, but I thought it was extra legendary because I watched it and I just intuitively knew that this is how Kevin fucks. You know,
you sent that to me.
Yeah,
there you go. You sent it to me.
So I'm gonna show it to you guys right now. It's actually the last thing I was watching on my phone because I love.
That's awesome. Do play it.
Alright. So this is how the schmoll has sex.
Oh, give me a little bit of scone.
What?
Oh, just a little bit more transferring into you.
In the end, was
great ending. He's a little more vulnerable.
Sorry to out you like that, Kevin, but you know I love you. But and Kevin loves that scene too.
He loves it, dude. We were on comms talking about it. He said, "Yeah, that's why I take notes from that."
Yeah,
yeah.
Schreider, who's your legend of the week?
Dude, my legend of the week's gotta be my dank ass fiance, dude. Just she's been such a legend, dude. When I've had fucking COVID, dude, and chilling, dude, and just you know, she's not my dank ass wife yet, but like they say in vows, sickness and health, and she was just there for me the whole time, dude, being a beast.
And she didn't get it, right?
She did now, though.
Oh, she did.
Oh, yeah, man.
But the thing was, she was in that worst space of feeling sick, but not testing positive, being like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm sick, but I don't have the fucking coat. Like, this is weird.
That happens to like everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Aaron, what's your legend of the week? Or who's your legend of the week?
My legend of the week is Bob Saget.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Let's go.
Unfortunately, I never got to meet him. He joined ATC in October, November of last year. Super excited. I exchanged some emails with him. He's so polite in the emails, so enthusiastic about the new venture and the new opportunity. And then he did come to the studio once. A couple years ago, and unfortunately, it was my day off, damn. So I didn't get to meet him formally. But everyone has said what a sweetheart he was, and maybe one of the best and nicest guy in comedy, which is insane considering his act.
yeah.
But yeah, so funny and so just a talented dude.
It's awesome.
He's a beast.
I never met him either, but he seemed to, even from watching him, just to have this energy of like warmth and
yeah,
you know, just
he would have loved you guys, I'm sure. Like
we, you know, my Brentalina asked us, I think we were trying to have him on or go on his podcast. So, and I've been a fan of his, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. He's been our life, our whole lives.
Yeah.
Beast.
He's on an episode of Quantum Leap that I think about all the time.
Hell yeah.
It's crazy.
Valeted his car once. Lexus.
Nice guy.
Subtle, classy, very nice. Exactly. Good vibes.
Not hey, ostentatious.
It represents
him well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like America's dad for a while. Mm-hmm. And then he was raunchy too. He did it all.
Which is perfect dad.
Checked all the boxes.
He's been joking lately. And I think he told this. He was on the Comedy Cares thing we did at the beginning of the pandemic to raise money for comics who were going to be out of work for a while. And he said, who'd thought that I'm actually America's dad and like the other guy is a rapist.
Oh, Cosby.
Yeah.
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 He worded it way Carl better. Winslow, it's been months. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Dude, my legend of the week is a friend of ours. Great guy. Had to take some time off from work. He was banged up. And now he's back. I want to give love to Clay Thompson.
Yeah.
Nice. He was out of the league for 2 years. Not out of the league, but, you know, out of being on the court for 2 years. And, you know, I don't see Clay a ton, but when I do see him, he's always positive. He's always upbeat. And he's always there to have a good time. And I know that's his reputation, but it's true. It's really who he is. And it's funny, like, when we were young, Clay was kind of shy. He was always cool, but he was kind of shy. And he's not shy anymore, but he's still the same person. Mm-hmm. And he's maintained that through all of his successes, which are about the highest you can get. And he's maintained it through this low period, too. And he's always been solid in who he is. And I'm so glad to see him back out on the court. And, you know, that first game back, he dropped 17. He was shooting a lot. He was getting after it. And he looks like the same old Clay. And I know that team is a juggernaut. And they got a great shot at winning the title. And I hope they do. And I think Clay's going to have a beautiful chapter for this next part of his career, and I'm just stoked to see him back out there. Because and he banged one, dude.
I know,
he
dude.
He dunked one hard in the paint. Went into the lane and dropped one on the D. And he always has beautiful reactions to his great moments. You know, there's this like little bit of like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he does something like that, like he's like he really finds joy in how great his job and station is, and he's a real inspiration, so I'm glad to see him back out there. So big love to Clay for coming back, dude.
Hell yeah.
That's tight.
And he's snarling.
He snarled, dude. He put up the lip snarl. I was like dude, he's at 100%.
Let's go.
He's at 100%.
That's sick.
Yeah, he's the best. And he gave love to Chad for your ball handling skills, dude.
Dude, I couldn't believe that. I was like, whoa. When I talked to him at your brother's wedding, he's the sweetest guy.
Really great guy.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, he was so cool. He met my dank ass fiance, and before I even said it, he goes, "You know your fiance beat me in lightning," and I was like, "Thank you for saying that, dude." I was so fucking chill, dude. Nice.
Chat. What's your quote of the week?
My quote of the week is I was texting Strider yesterday, and he ended the conversation with Schwing, which is great from you know Wayne's World, and it just fired me up.
That's awesome.
You know, it just Schwing is.
Schwing.
It never gets old. It's perfect.
Timeless. Schwing.
It is an all-time move, and it's like, it's so good.
It's very out of left field too, which I liked. It was like kind of like, it's like you like brought it back, you know, an old school schwing, and it felt like, you know, it felt like you came on me.
Thank you.
Oh, thank whoa. You.
Yeah.
And that would be my honor. And I'll tell you right now, for any young Stokers listening, do yourself a favor and go watch Wayne's World.
Yes.
One and two. They're some of the all-time best movies. You might not get some of the references. Some things they're not evergreen, but I think those are in themselves evergreen movies. And Schwing is something that you should put into your lexicon.
Hell yeah, dude. Aaron, what's your quote of the week?
My quote of the week is going to be something. I think I'm going to do Bob Saget's quote from Half Baked.
Mm.
Dave Chappelle's character Thurgood he's got a girlfriend who doesn't like that he smokes weed, so he's trying to quit weed, so he goes to rehab, and he tells everyone, he announces, "Hi, I'm Thurgood, I'm addicted to weed," and everyone in the crowd just gets fucking pissed at him. And Bob Saget stands up and says, marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke. Now that's an addiction. You ever suck some dick for weed?
Hilarious. That's a classic. Hilarious line.
Because you don't even, I don't even think you see him in the crowd until he stands up.
Right? Yeah.
It's awesome. And it's Saget. Oh, it's classic.
My quote of the week is, I watched Tom Hardy in an interview talk about his movie Bronson, which is based on this sociopathic criminal named Bronson, who I guess became a celebrity in, I think it was England.
England, yeah.
And then Hardy was talking about actually talking to the real Bronson guy that he portrayed over the phone. And I guess Hardy came out straight with what he was feeling at the time. Bronson's like, how you doing? He's like, I'm going through a breakup. I really feel lost and all this stuff. And then Bronson told him this parable where he said, did you hear about the boy who got lost in the flood? He got stuck in a flood. And the water kept raising, and they kept trying to get him out, but his foot was stuck, and they couldn't get him out, and he ended up drowning. And Hardy was like, yeah, I remember that. He goes, that never would have happened to me. He goes, because I would have cut my foot off. And he goes, sometimes there's a moment in your life where you have to lose a part of yourself to grow, but that's just what you have to do. And I was like, whoa, yeah. You know, we get stuck in these situations where we're like, I can't get through this, and we just stay stuck. But sometimes it means there's a part of yourself that feels real, that feels like you. But just because it feels real and feels like you doesn't mean you have to do it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to just say later to that part of you, and that's where the growth comes from. So big ups to Bronson, dude, for just spitting truth.
I like that.
Fired me up, dude.
That's fucking sick.
Chat, what's your phrase of the week for getting after it?
Phrase of the week for getting after it? Sizzle me timbers.
Ooh. With a little camera look, bro. What do you mean when you say that?
I mean, let's have a, you know, let's... what's the term? What's the term for like when pirates are...
Ahoy?
A parlay?
No. It's not like...
Maroon?
It's like, let's act like Jack Sparrow. Let's act like Jack Sparrow.
That's what you mean?
Let's just be as hot as Jack Sparrow.
For sure.
He's hot.
Strider, what's your phrase that we're forgetting after it?
Dude, are we fucking doing this?
Aaron, what's your phrase that we're forgetting after it?
Chad already said it. Schwing.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
My phrase that we're forgetting after it's from the movie The Program, great college football movie. It's
classic.
The starting quarterback, Joe Kane, whenever he's got to get the team fired up for a critical late game situation play, he says, let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for supper.
Love it, dude. Love it.
Nice.
Let's go.
I want to be a wide receiver on that team, dude. And it's possible, as Cooper Kupp proved. All right, dude. All right.
Good sesh.
Good sesh. Go, dude. Great stuff.
Guys, check out Strider's new Patreon.
Oh, thank you, Chad, dude.
History is dank. We're going to have a new Patreon coming out, too. Or we have one.
Sick.
New content. And yeah, stay stoked.
Stay stoked.
These guys are really nice.